In the midst of their grief, three Jewish women of ancient Jerusalem went to do for Jesus what women have done for the dead throughout history. They went to wash his body, to anoint it with oil, and to wrap it in a clean cloth. They went to the cemetery to prepare him for burial. At dawn, they came raw with grief. They came fearing that someone would recognize them as having been with Jesus that week. These were dangerous times. They came knowing their preparations needed to be done sooner rather than later for obvious reasons. They came wondering how they would get past the heavy stone that blocked the entrance. Despite everything, at early dawn they came. In the midst of grief, we too go about doing the things that need to be done. We perform the mundane tasks a living world demands. The cacophony of needs around us cares little for the hollowness that we feel. Whether we have had a loved one die, lost a good friendship, or been forsaken, we grieve. If we are laid off from a job, have a child leave for college, or experience a spouse's declining health, we mourn. A pet's death, a loss of a sense of well-being, or a neighbor's cancer reoccurrence can blur our vision with tears and leave our hearts heavy. And still, we do what must be done. Because we are among the living, we go to the tomb anyway. We still prepare the body. We go because we must. But the Easter story tells us that when the women arrive at the tomb, they find it open. Even in their grief, this greatly alarms them. Why is it open? Who has gone into it? What might have happened to the body? Then they see a young man dressed in white standing beside them. He tells them something unbelievable. He says Jesus' body is not there because he has been raised from the dead. Though they see the body is gone, the women don't really believe him at all. The story tells us that they are filled with horror and astonishment. During a bizarre week, they are faced with yet another strange event. Without even answering the young man, they flee from the tomb in confusion and amazement. The first gospel written, the Gospel of Mark, ends with the words, "Stunned, the women said nothing about what they had seen." We know later Christian traditions ascribe Jesus' absence from the tomb to his resurrection, but that is not what Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, or Salome would have thought at all. If not for the words of the young man, they would have thought some fiendish person had stolen Jesus' body. Even the ancient world did not believe a dead person could come back to life. And yet, the young man suggests Jesus is alive. He suggests the women should look for him elsewhere. His words suggest that they have focused too much on the mundane tasks that life demands. They have come to the cemetery seeking only a body. They have come thinking their friend and teacher is gone forever. They do not think to look beyond this particular death to life all around them. For even if his body had been safely in the tomb when they arrived, Jesus would not have been there. We only ever bury the outer husk of a person. When people ask me if I believe in resurrection, I say, sure. I see resurrection all around me every day. I see the beautiful earth that renews itself every year despite the damage that we do to it. I see people recover from illnesses and leave the hospital. I see infants and baby animals. I see people being kind to one another, helping one another. When I look in the mirror, I see my own ancestors, one grandfather's eyebrows and the other grandfather's receding hairline. I know the difference a word of encouragement can make. I know the comfort just sitting with someone else can bring. I'm inspired by the life of Jesus of Nazareth and by the lives of so many other men, women, and children who live boldly, wisely, and generously. I see love in places where it is least expected. Sure, I believe in resurrection, I say when asked, maybe not the exclusionary bodily resurrection some people want to know about, but the metaphorical resurrection of all living things through the great cycles of nature and memory. Yes, this, of course. To live my life well, I need the reassurance of that resurrection. And my guess is that you need it too. We live in a world that is too selfish and cruel for true human flourishing. We may feel protected by our family, our town, our church, and we know this protection only shields us briefly from inequality and injustice all around us. The same selfishness and cruelty Jesus resisted in his day is at work in ours. The same powerful men control too much of the wealth. The same intolerant leaders yell too loudly. The same fearful greed creates too much war. It is easy to get caught up in the yelling and the fighting. It is easy to hide and ignore the pain. It is easy to think things will never change. And that would be to miss the point of Jesus' teachings altogether. No matter your theology, hear Jesus' declaration. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because she has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. She has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, sight to the blind, and freedom to the oppressed." To bring good news to the poor, to release the captive, to give sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. This is the good news that did not die on the cross. This is the good news that was not sealed in a tomb. No matter how you feel about Easter and resurrection, you can follow Jesus by caring for others. You can follow him by keeping alive the vision of a world at peace with equality for all. In the beauty of the budding spring, might we find new life everywhere. May we find hope in the returning birds and the blooming flowers. May we find renewed purpose in our own lives. Fear not, I tell you. Keep hope alive. Seek out life. Love one another. The tomb is empty. Go and live the promise of Easter's resurrection. So be it. Amen.